All right, so welcome everyone to our Zurich's regular meeting here in Barcelona at ICANN 63. I have a feeling this may be kind of a short meeting, but nonetheless, we'll go through the agenda. There's really only two sort of topics of substance that we can discuss today. One is related to our KSK rollover response document, and the other is about the request from Octo on root zone management evolution. Mario, I'll ask you to conduct the roll call, please.
Thank you, Duane. Welcome, everyone. In the room, we have Peter Koch from CCNSO. We have Brad Vird from ERSAC. We have Ross Mundy from ESAC and Kim Davis from PTI. And on the bridge, we have no one. So. Thank you. Over to
You
you,
forgot about
Duane.
me, Mario. Dwayne is here.
Oh, apologies. And Duane whistles, chairing the meeting.
Right, thank you. So I already briefly reviewed the agenda. Let's move on to the action items from our previous meeting, which also, if I remember correctly, was quite short.
Thank you, Duane. This is Mario for the recording. The action items from the last RSERC teleconference call on 13 of August 2018 hasn't been approved because our meeting in September was rescheduled. So the action item from that teleconference was Mario to publish the minutes, transcript, and audio recording from the 26th of July teleconference. The second one is staff to add agenda item discussions on KSK rollover work items for the next RSEC teleconference. Staff to schedule a teleconference for the root zone management evolution study work party. And the last one, Maria, to confirm RSEC members' availability for the next teleconference. That being said, all of these action items have been complete. And let us know if you have any questions. Back to you, Duane.
Okay, thanks, Mario. So, is it true that the August minutes have not yet been posted, right? So you will post them for us following this meeting, right? Okay. So one thing on our agenda today is we haven't had really a chance to follow up on our work from the KSK rollover document. I don't know. I guess I'm interested in the committee's appetite to revisit this this document, not the document itself, but the process of publishing a document. So, just for the record, we had a little bit of difficulty coming to consensus on this document. In the end, we did have consensus, and the document was published on time and sent to the board. Obviously, the KSK rollover happened, and we're not aware of any negative consequences of that. So all that is behind us. The topic that we may want to talk about today is whether, going through the process of producing that document, did we learn things that maybe would lead to revision of our procedures or how we do things or that kind of thing. Maybe we need to talk about what consensus means for our ZERK and how we deal with dissenting opinions. I don't. I guess I'm curious to hear from other people because this has been a few months now, and maybe our the way we were feeling at the time, maybe we feel less passionate now about this. But anyway, I'd like to open it up for discussion from other people if they want to sort of have that discussion now.
Thanks, Duane. This is Russ for the record. It seems to me that we have at least a good basis to work from in our current procedures document. The document that we had the request for and that we had to handle fairly quickly will hopefully be an exceptional case as opposed to, you know, something that's, we didn't actually end up having to make a response to the OCTO, but we did have the opportunity to work through it in a more time reasonable sense. So I would hate to see us make substantial changes as a result of what we had to do for the KSK rollover, just because of the time was so compressed in which we had to respond to that.
Yeah. Brad?
Not to contradict what you just said, Russ, but I feel like the more time we have, the less consensus we have. The more time we sat there and we chewed on things and we got stuck on things and we were unable to come to a consensus. It was disappointing.
So one thing that I wanted to mention also in regards to the KSK rollover document that we did is, you know, initially we had this, the plan was to produce a number document, much like we see out of SSAC and RSAC. And then as we came to the deadline, you know, we had some sort of dissenting opinions and whatnot. And there was a proposal, I believe, by me to sort of change the nature of that document from just a straight document to more like a letter from the chair of the committee, which we didn't end up doing in the end. But I guess I'm, again, curious to hear from other members of the committee if now in hindsight, do you think that, you know, did we make the right choice with the style and the format of the document that we produced? Or should we, you know, in the future consider maybe having more choices at our disposal? Sometimes it's a straight document, sometimes it's a letter. I don't know.
This is Peter. Thanks, Dwayne. First, I think that you as the chair did the right thing when you found out that there might not be consensus to invite the dissenting voice, which in that case was myself, to submit a minority statement, because that's exactly what the charter suggests. And I had explained later why I did not follow that invitation for specific reasons. Now, in hindsight, it appears, if we look at the responses from other ACs, that this response was hard to get to, not only in our committee, but elsewhere as well, and seems to have been unprecedentedly contentious, at least in one other advisory committee. So with that in mind, my decision might have looked differently. But that doesn't mean that the chair did anything wrongly there. I would also hope that we would have the chance to, the next time, well, let me put it another way, we I think agreed that the way we came into the game was less than optimal, being asked where we hadn't had a chance to respond to this before, given that the KSK had started before Azure came into existence and so on and so forth. So this was special in multiple dimensions. So we probably don't have to repeat an exercise based on these grounds, and all these things will be better next time when we get one of the questions from like the board or any entity in the community. Still, I think that our handling of this as a group, the handling of these issues, I wouldn't say it's bad, but it surfaces to me that we might still not have a complete agreement of what level of granularity we are supposed to deal with these things. As in, my way of reading the charter is, yeah, RZERC has the mandate to look that all the parties have been involved, and which is kind of a more an oversight function. And from that perspective, I think we might have still gone a bit too much into detail in the response. for probably good reason and good reasons and with all the good intentions. But I think we might want to address the question of the clarification of the mission. Not necessarily pressing, but think about this without anything on the plate so we don't have to react immediately, but check what is the thing that people had in mind already in the beginning. In the course of the, and that might lead to another topic, so in the course of the RSEC review, members of the committee may have noticed that the RSEC review also mentions RZERC and mentions some perceived confusion regarding the may or may not be overlapping missions of the both committees, that there's something to clarify there. And then several people who were part of the CWG gave their own versions on how they had thought of designing this RZERC thing, and they weren't necessarily completely in agreement either. So that's something that we should work on, or we should signal to the relevant part of the community, whoever that is, because we don't really know. The CWG is gone. RZERC is not a bylaws committee. So we're hanging a bit in the vacuum, as we say. That's my
So point. Let me ask a follow-up. at this point, RZERC has no sort of formal business to conduct. Right, there's nothing before us to consider. So one option is we could go back into our hibernation mode. Would you recommend that, or would you rather not do that and spend some time, fleshing out these issues that you bring up?
So I'm not eager to have the committee conduct meetings for the purpose of conducting meetings. I'd also on the other hand, the next time we have something in front of us, we may or may not all that what I said before, setting aside in terms of what the preconditions might look like, it's probably better to discuss these fundamental issues without any pressing question on our plate. Whether or not we give us some time to let this settle or find some more appropriate time slot during the upcoming, 6 months, I'm not eager to address this immediately, but we better do it before the next question arrives in our input queue. And I'm not considering the Octo question one of those questions. I think we can deal with that and have been dealing with that already almost. So I sorry for not giving you a clear yes or no response. I think it's an important thing to do. It's probably not pressing, but we could also have some informal discussions around what do we think would be the next thing the community asks us to do. And we know that people have been discussing frequencies of KSK rollovers. And given that the KSK, which started before RZERC came into existence, was done without initial involvement of RZERC, the discussion around repeated KSK rollovers may well be something that is within RZERC's scope. So that's a way an issue to arise anyway. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Yes, Kaveh, please.
So I think there is a more, and I have to reread the charter again, but there is a question, underlying question on what you said, and which is RZERC supposed to be a reactive organization or proactive? For example, for the frequency of the KSK rollover, we might have ideas, but is it on us to come up with a proposal or advice or something, or should we wait for someone to ask us? I think that's KSK frequency, rollover frequency is something, but there are many other issues, which I'm sure we can form opinion, but I think that... at least personally for me, it's not clear. Maybe it's clear in the charter, but for me, it's not clear. Are we reactive or proactive? Supposed to be proactive.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a little, we're all figuring this out as we go, so I think it's not obvious.
Thanks, Duane. Russ, for the record. Right, and one similar type of question to, are we supposed to be proactive or reactive? are in what we do and handle and respond to, are we supposed to be doing coordination of whatever answer and position an individual member takes back to the sending organization? Or are we supposed to speak strictly as a body itself, as individuals from those organizations that collectively our view is X on topic Y, as opposed to here's topic Y, do we have to go back to the groups that we're affiliated with and make sure that they're in agreement with a position and then come back and argue for that position within the group? And I think that's completely vague in our charter. And I know we've had at least a couple of discussions. There's been disagreements, but I know Jim and I have had discussions where we do not see this the same way. So I think it's an area that it would be good to try to at least get more of a sense internally to this group of what we expect amongst ourselves and with our sending organizations before we have a time pressing kind of thing we have to answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Kim?
One observation I would make on the last point is I think at least what was intended was that our ZERG wouldn't necessarily have all the skills or knowledge to address the issues that come across its plate. Is that it's a place where we make sure issues don't slip through. But if substantive work is needed, like within ESSAC, RSAC, or one of those individual bodies, this is the place to catch it and refer it to them. Now, whether at the end of that, it then comes back and, as you say, there's some kind of, like, you argue the position, that's not clear to me, but I feel that this was more of a body to say, you know, this needs to go to these places for additional work.
So I think, yes, I agree. I think the intent, at least from my understanding, when this was formed, I think the intent was that. But if you take that intent, then I think that answers both questions, because in that case, we would be a reactive organization because work is coming from somewhere else. We are just a filter to make sure something is not missed out. And I think it also answers Russ's point, because in that case, we are not representing our constituency or community behind us. They just appointed us as experts, and they say, hey, make sure nothing is passed around. So if we agree on that intent, I think that automatically answers both these points.
Yeah, if I could follow on, and especially with respect to one of the favorite charts of mine that's come out of the RSAC realm is the chart that shows the root server pieces and then the provisioning pieces and says, you know, here's this hard line in between. And, you know, RSAC is dealing with, you know, the root server operations pieces. And the, at least as I understood from the transition activities, one of the, if not the critical function associated with RSAC was to at least have some other group looking at the provisioning side of activities. It wouldn't necessarily replace NTIA, but sort of kind of roughly have, you know, another group of people that was focused on that. And so from that perspective, one could also say that RSERC is a parallel with RSAC because it's looking at two different portions of the overall root server operational system. And it's unclear how ESSAC is supposed to be speaking, you know, anything that security and stability in the internet, ESSAC says stuff about if they feel like. So that's not as clear a relationship, but I don't know. It's a question I think we need to work on to make sure we do come to a good understanding, because one of the things that changed during the development of the transition was the name of this group. Yeah, and that may also have been an intentional change.
All right, Thanks, everyone, for that discussion. I guess we will continue to have these sorts of discussions for a while, and maybe when some of the other committee members join, they'll have opinions also.
So I'm not, well, let me put it in a positive way, say. One consistent part of the contributions, excuse me, or memories of the excuse me, founding individuals from CWG was exactly that, what Russ mentioned, that they had in mind something that would fill the NTIA function of approval of things rather than going to details, looking at the development process, the decision-making process, and so on and so forth. For that, of course, the question is, when you said we're designated as experts, but experts for what? Experts for technology, or experts for process, or experts for multi-stakeholder involvement? That's one thing to look at. The other is, the charter is up for renewal, I think, 5 years after the setting up of ARZERC, which would be in 2021. We could ask for an earlier review, but given that there are so many reviews running right now, that might stress some resources. We might not get that input that we want, or a committee that would really go back deep into all the details. The other,
can I ask a clarification there? What I hear you saying is, the way to get your charter updated is to go through a ICANN review process. Is that what I'm hearing, or
that's a very interesting question. So the charter says that it is up for review after 5 years. Whether this is a usual ICANN review, again, given that this is not a board committee, or at least not a bylaws committee, and this is another detail to check. And I don't think we have a clarified charter update process. Surely the committee could make that suggestion, but the question is, who would approve that? First choice might be the ICANN board, but then again, there are some, through the genesis of the committee, there are some details to be clarified, and I think that's probably much, much more a process issue than we want to deal with. So the natural point is this five-year review, the scheduled one. And we could ask for an earlier one, but my point was that too many people are a bit exhausted about all these reviews and not necessarily excited about this particular committee, if even the committee can't really agree what's going on. The other aspect is that we might need to get a more structured input than go talk to people in an informal way from those who designed this, in terms of what they had in mind, and if they look what we've done so far, if that was not strictly an assessment, but getting some ideas whether that was what they had in mind when they set up the committee, which is short of a review, but some other input that we could, I don't know what mechanism we have at our hands, but we all have mouth and hands and can grab people and talk to them. That would still be on an informal level. I see Kaveh nodding, but yeah.
But it also seems to me that if ARZERC itself felt compelled to update its charter, it could do that and then put it out for public comment, and that would probably be one way to update the charter, right? That would pass.
I don't know. I don't know. It looks natural, but we.
Yeah, the ARZERC charter is not enshrined in the ICANN bylaws, so I think the review process will be less onerous than other review, for example, the CSC and the IFR, which is part of the ICANN bylaws. So I think the exact mechanics, you know, we can work internally to see how to best conduct a review in a lightweight process. So that's my input on that.
One of the things that I'm a little reluctant to bring up, but I'm going to anyway, and that is most of us on the committee are also involved with RSAC and are very familiar with RSAC 037. And there have been, in that context, there have been questions asked about, well, what will become with RSAC, you know, after this whole change occurs? Does the same question need to be applied to RSERC? So in theory, would, you know, with whatever gets set up for the root server operators also have an impact on the provisioning aspects? I think it's a question we need to think about.
It's certainly not in scope in the document. It's just not there. So, I mean, my initial answer to you is no. If the community wants to involve that and make that change, then that would be a conversation that would have. But as 37 sits today, the answer is no.
I would agree, and I think the chart that you referred to, all of the intent for 37, 38 was the other side of the chart, which is our operation, so not the root zone provisioning. So I don't think, and we had no intent also to go there. So I don't think any of the work on 37 will provoke looking at the provisioning side.
So I would also argue from my interactions with a large number of people around ICANN, except for the folks in this room and the folks in RSAC and a few people in SSAC, most people don't. They see it on the slides and it just kind of goes over their head. They don't even realize there's a difference. And so I would expect that there'll be some at least community discussion about that when it's going through that process. So that's why I was a little reluctant to bring it up, because I agree, Brad, it's not in the document as it sits.
Yeah. Yes, Steve.
I guess reading through the original charter, original design of the RSERC is designed to be a more of a reactive committee that responds to requests that's brought about by its members. So I think if RSERC wants to change that, that needs to be a serious discussion, you know, from reactive to proactive. That's a big change. The second aspect is, you know, as Kim mentioned, the RSERC is more or less designed as a conduit, the members as a conduit to pass the information and gather the expertise and the information back for discussion. But in order to fulfill that role, there's a couple of operational issues. So for example, does your appointing organization have procedures that for you to take the information back and then you can gather the input and come back? And second is, are you able to command the attention of your appointing organization? For example, in this case of the IETF, how would you command the attention of the IETF and say, you know, there's this issue needs to be studied, you know, and what's your opinion on this, right? And the third one is, you know, sometimes navigating through your appointing organization to get the relevant expertise, that itself sometimes required is time and challenging. So I think, you know, even if RSERC wish to remain as a reactive committee, you know, those issues needs to be sought out so that you can truly, you know, engage a broad level expertise and make a recommendation to the board. So those are the three things I thought of. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Steve. So I think we should maybe close out this topic and move on to the next, which is the request from ICANN Octo about root zone management evolution. So in case you missed it, it's been a few weeks now, I received an email from Ed Lewis stating that they wanted to withdraw the request for RSERC's advice. The reason given was that they looked at the charter and decided that they didn't follow the proper procedures in bringing this to RSERC. because OCTO is not one of the listed organizations that the charter says would bring advice to or would bring work to ARZERC. So, you know, I thanked him for that, and at this point, that is sort of off of our plates. I have mixed feelings about this, and I'd be willing to hear other persons' thoughts on this as well. I'm happy to share mine, but maybe someone else wants to go first.
Thanks, Russ, for the record. Although technically what they said, I think, was a bureaucratically correct and pure statement, it would be very easy and I think appropriate for OCTO as an organization to hand it to PTI and say, you're a member of the ARZERC, go introduce this to ARZERC as an item to look at. Now, whether or not, you know, organizationally that makes sense within ICANN, I don't know. But in fact, it just, you know, the charter says any member of ARZERC can introduce items, and PTI is a member of ARZERC. So,
right. And, you know, my interpretation of that part of the charter is not that that was an exclusive list. It was more of an example list, right? It doesn't, I would interpret it to say that the requests aren't required to come from only those organizations, but would probably come from those organizations. And also I should mention that I did ask Ed Lewis if they intended to resubmit this request via proper channels, and he said they had not decided yet whether they would do that or not.
Kim, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot, but...
No, I was actually about to say the exact same thing. I think the heart of it is this something that we feel is in ARZERC's bailiwick to review? And I think the answer is yes. And without having had an in-depth discussion as to why it was rescinded the way it was, I think we're all in KSK rollover mode the last little while, so it wasn't quite my area of focus. But look, that is a requirement of the INA transition to do that work. And it is being coordinated by OCTO because they have the most appropriate resources within the broader ICANN org to do it. But it's not because they're kind of like ring fence from PTI and this kind of stuff. It is a requirement associated with PTI's operation that this work be done.
So while I'm certainly, you know, a little disappointed that the request was withdrawn, I'm also, I guess, kind of equally disappointed in ourselves that we were not able to get something back to them in a timely manner. I mean, the request came into us, I think, April, May timeframe, something like that. And that, you know, that woke us up out of our hibernation, and we met a couple times, and we had a little work party. And then absolutely the KSK rollover was in between there. But still, I would very much like ARZERC to get to the point where we are much more nimble in responding to these things. And it felt to me like we were dragging our feet. So.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. I understand that I share with that frustration or disappointment. I would say that OCTO needs congratulations for finding this face-saving exit. And face-saving for everybody, of course. But then again, since we now know about this, any one of us could bring it to the attention of the committee, and we could still work on a response. Whether that would be so well received, I don't know, but we could check that in advance. So we could repair that mistake in a way if we wanted to.
Yeah, thanks. Any more comments, Russ?
Yeah, I agree. We really kind of fell on our face with that one because it was a relatively simple one, and yet we couldn't get a good collective answer together to send back to them. And I think where we kind of fell down was not so much in terms of the specific particulars of the detail of that statement of work, but the which pieces of the statement of work did we want to criticize the most and in what way? And as for clarification and, you know, but we were all over the board in terms of what we were trying to get back to them with. So we need to figure out how to move these things through more quickly.
Yeah, one of my particular frustrations was that we had a work party, and that work party met maybe once a month, and it felt like every meeting we went in a circle, we rehashed the same things, you know, over and over again. So I guess, you know, one thing I would propose going forward is maybe a faster cycle of, you know, maybe weekly meetings or something like that, so that we can keep it fresh in our minds and not have to waste time rehashing everything. But, you know, that remains to be seen for future work, I guess, if that's realistic. The other thing I struggled with a little bit was I sort of felt like maybe, you know, being from VeriSign, I was a potentially conflicted party, and so I kind of withdrew a little bit from that work party, and I was hoping other people would sort of, you know, take a more active role. And in hindsight, I don't know if that was the right decision or not, but those are my thoughts.
The other thing I observe is the working group model that we inherit from kind of the ESSEC and RSEC, where those committees are much larger and you have a smaller subgroup, you still have like 10 people. And then even if, you know, half of them show up, you have 5 people, you know, actually doing the work. Where RZERC is much smaller and we divide into a smaller subset, and then if people don't show up, you know, then we have only 1 or 2 people actually doing the work. So, you know, given RZERC's size, you know, perhaps we abolish this subcommittee, sub-working group model, and just the whole group work as a whole to work on a response. So that's one suggestion.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Steve.
One other suggestion that I might make, because we've certainly had problems of this nature in ESSEC where different people would show up on whether it was once a week, and we were, you know, on a number of topics, it's a once a week meeting. So it was, the frequency was much higher, but one of the problems was different people would show up. And then you'd have the consensus of the people on that call be different than the consensus of the people from the previous call. And so we end up kind of bashing our heads against the wall with a changing consensus point. And I fully agree with what Steve says. We're small enough, we should try, if we can, to do as many of these for a committee as a whole, and try to do not just a recording. I think a recording would be very good for each of these meetings that we have on calls, and at least some amount of notes that are then sent out to each, you know, to the whole committee. And then when the next meeting occurs, that the things that were agreed to in the previous meeting will stand unless someone can present a good argument against it. So that might help make progress go forward a little more quickly, because I certainly know in ESSEC we've had agreements everybody thought on a call was agreed to, didn't get written down, and sent around to the entire committee. Then the next time things went...
Yeah, that's a good data point. Thanks. Okay, so any last topics or last discussion about the that evolution study? Okay.
Excuse me, Dwayne.
Yes, Mario.
One question. Should we keep actually all that correspondence and documents on the website, regardless it was withdrawn?
I think so. I think it's appropriate.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so on Wednesday is the RZERC open information session. Mario has sent around a slide deck. I've given him a little bit of feedback on that. I think you wanted to go through it here with everyone. Is that right, Mario? Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
It should look very familiar because it's essentially the same deck that was presented in Abu Dhabi a year ago, right? With the addition of maybe one more slide of talking about the things that we've been working on since then. It's a regular meeting time slot, right? So an hour and a half, which I think we're going to have a very tough time filling. Just waiting for the slides to upload here. Upload number two.
Yes, it needs to be in PDF. That's the issue. Here it goes.
All right, so the slides are uploaded to Adobe Connect. Title slide. What did it say, 61? Oh, so we need to update the meeting number on the title slide, Mario. Where does it say 60? I'm not seeing it. Oh, yeah, OK. Do you see it, Mario?
Yeah.
OK. Took me a second. So here's the agenda. We've got these five topics. This is all familiar from the last time. I don't believe the first five have changed substantially, have they, Mario, from the previous presentation?
Not really.
Yeah, maybe it's we can just sort of zoom through them here. Look for occurrences of ICANN 60. If we see any. Oops.
Apologies. This slide is just actually the topic of the agenda, which is actually the overview.
Okay. Yeah. So here's some language from the charter and so on. Here's next is the graph that we've all come to love. The graphic. There's quite a few different versions of this graphic floating around. I know the one that's in the RSEC 037 is very nice. It's a little prettier. Maybe at some point we can update that. But I would. I mean, if you can get it, I would use that one. It's like Brad said, it was professionally designed. Okay. The one in the 037 report is very nice. Just saying.
I was going to say, maybe if you want to do that, I would send it to the group here and make sure everybody's cool with it. But it was done up with graphic artists, so it looks prettier versus squiggly, you know, boxes and lines.
Okay. So a brief slide on what is, you know, roughly in scope versus out of scope for RZERC. Membership lists unchanged since last year. The slide that talks about our types of meetings. Slide that talks about the way RZERC is transparent, recordings, minutes, and so on. Again, more language from the charter, I believe, consideration of proposals. And then this is really the only thing that's new, talking about the current status. So I believe even last year we had this first bullet on there. We had the operational procedures completed, or maybe not. Maybe I'm misremembering. But anyway, that's an accomplishment. The KSK rollover advice is mentioned here. And lastly, there's a bullet and a sub-bullet about the Root Zone Management Evolution Study, and that the request was withdrawn. So that's there in the interest, again, of full transparency. This is not a secret. It's on the mailing list and on the correspondence part of our website. And that is it. We still have time to update these if we need to before Wednesday. So does anyone see any reason to update or correct or anything? You have copies in your email if you want to go through them again and look at them more closely, I guess. Peter?
So I was wondering, I'm not sure I saw the action that we had been working on, like the KSK rollover mentioned. I missed
Send
that.
The second to the last slide. It's the bolded one there.
Good, thank you.
Just for clarification, when is the RZERC meeting on Wednesday? Sorry. I'm working a bunch of schedules, so I'm just trying to balance them and make sure they're right.
So I have it at 10:30 on Wednesday. I don't know the room number, though.
10:30 to 12, room 127, 128.
Okay.
Which collides with DNSSEC workshop.
Well, we can make it short, and yes. Maybe even if nobody shows up, we can make it even shorter. So, I don't. All right. Any last comments about the slides or the presentation? If not, let's go back to the end of the agenda, Mario, and we'll finish it up. You close this. So I think one lingering administrative item is the staff have sent out emails to appointing organization contacts asking for sort of confirmation and dates and things like that. And looking at the spreadsheet, I think we're still missing three, myself being one of them. I'll try again to talk to Mr. Kane and get him to do that, but. You're one, Russ. I'm one,
No, Howard. You're fine, Peter. We're missing ASO, Carlos Martinez.
Okay. You don't have the one from SAC yet. You don't have SAC yet, because they were.
No, not yet. We don't have SAC. We don't have SAO, and. We don't have VeriSign.
I'll bug them again this week. They were supposed to send it after our workshop, so yeah.
All right, thanks. So next, let's talk about the next opportunity for us. Well, first of all, I guess let's talk about, should we have a meeting, another meeting in a month or so? Do people want to meet? We have no official business to conduct. We could take a break, or we could meet sometime in November. Any opinions, preferences?
Let me suggest that we not meet again till after the first of the year, and then we try to develop on the mailing list some of the issues we talked about earlier in the meeting, and then target, say, I don't remember when in the month we've been setting our regular meetings. It was like the second or third Monday or something like that.
Yes, this is Mario. Used to be during the third week on Mondays.
So, Russ, you suggested to do some work on the mailing list. Were you thinking to do that in the meantime or do that work after the first of the year?
In the meantime, discuss the items we were talking about earlier, which are really kind of back and forth iteration kind of things. And, you know, it's the time when a lot of people are doing holiday and vacation time, but it's easier to respond to email as long as we don't forget to. But yeah, try to develop the agenda based on the earlier topics.
Thanks for that suggestion. Kaveh?
Actually, I wanted to suggest even a bit more relaxed agenda, because if there is no real item, real items for discussion, then why should we meet? My suggestion was to aim for Kobe to meet face-to-face. And if something develops in the meantime, obviously we will discuss, and then we can always set up a meeting. But if you want to set something, like pencil down something, my suggestion is Kobe for face-to-face. And obviously in the meantime, we will try to develop the agenda. And if we need a meeting, we will meet. But otherwise, I don't think we will need a telephone meeting.
So I don't remember at what point you entered the meeting, but at the start we had a discussion about, you know, should we work on some of our administrative sort of outstanding issues, you know, like what some of the problems we had with the first document. So that would be the only reason that we would continue to meet. It was to discuss our charter, to discuss our purpose and how we would conduct our work. So
those I prefer over email, actually. So because normally they're documented and people have more time to elaborate. So yes, I entered the room exactly in the middle of that.
Peter?
Yeah, I would like to support Russ's suggestion, including this tentatively scheduled meeting for the third Monday or the Monday of the third week, whatever the difference is, in January. And if we 2 weeks in advance don't have anything to discuss there, we cancel the meeting. But I think we better have it in our calendars. So just in case we can meet. Other than that, yes, I'm fine with that.
Okay, thanks. So let's do that then. Let's do a doodle poll or whatever, or get it on people's calendars sooner rather than later, Mario, and then we'll hold that for a potential January meeting. And if we need to cancel it, we can. All right. Okay, I think that's it. Unless there's any last-minute business, we can adjourn and go about the rest of our business. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you. This meeting has been adjourned.